This is the Fenway Rundown, the premier podcast for all things Boston Red Sox.
You know, people harp on the last place thing, but essentially what's important is the record.
If the Red Sox want people to start thinking the ownership cares, then maybe they should talk.
This is the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live. Here are your hosts, Chris Cotillo and Sean McAdam.
It's a weekend edition of the Fenway Rundown. I'm Chris Cotillo, Sean McAdam alongside. We both are still in Massachusetts. Chris Smith has us covered in Anaheim. That is where Jason Varitek is, and Jason Varitek appearing on the Fenway Rundown today to talk a little bit about the 2024 team and a lot about the 2004 team, which will be honored this week at Fenway. We'll have plenty of coverage of not just this year's team, but again, that 20-year anniversary on the site, masslive.com, on the podcast, and the Fenway Rundown insider text.
Yes, indeed, Chris. And the way to join that insider text and have access to all three of us to ask questions, to supply questions for future mailbag editions, and keep up on all things Red Sox, simply text the word join to 617-751-6257, then click the link and subscribe. You get a free 14-day trial period, after which you're charged $4.99 a month. We're excited to be joined by Jason Varitek, former Red Sox captain, two-time world champion, three-time All-Star and Gold Glove winner, and now, of course, game planning coordinator and catching instructor with the Red Sox. Jason, thanks for joining us and taking the time with us this afternoon. So far, a week in or a little bit more, a nice start to the 2024 Red Sox season, including some terrific pitching performances. What's your take as we're now eight games in here as we record this as to how things are going here in the beginning?
They've gone well in the beginning. We played some really good defense too on top of it, minus, a couple hiccups here and there. Offense really hadn't gotten a whole lot going until, really last night. And then, doing a job, being able to throw strikes, get ahead and utilize that and put ourselves into some spot. And a lot of the hard work that's gone into all spring and off season and putting this group in, they're in a good spot, good energy, and winning some games.
The pitching has been outstanding so far. And, of course, it's part of a new pitching program developed both by Craig Breslow, your new chief baseball officer, and new pitching coach Andrew Bailey. What's different about the way the Red Sox are approaching their pitching program this season?
I think, getting into the finer details would have to come from Brez and from Bailey, but guys are well informed. They know what's in front of them. They know what their strengths are, and they're really getting to know themselves. And you need talented players to be able to do that. And we have had that, and they continue to take steps after a lot of them had a full year under their belt last year. And they're definitely, things have gone off on a very good foot to start, on that end. And everybody knows me, knows how much I believe in pitching, and pitching helps you win games. And that's a sole driver, and they've done a great job so far.
Alex Cora talked about this a little last night, but in your department, catching, Reese McGuire seems to have taken a step forward. I think some people have been surprised to see, he's outplayed Connor Wong in terms of starts so far. Seems like he had a pretty impressive camp for you guys. What's different about Reese entering this season than maybe last year and some of the things Alex pointed to yesterday?
Well, I mean, it helps anybody to have a little success to start. But Reese has had some due diligent work all spring, minus hitting the hair of, the foul, the backswing from Baez. It slowed him down, but he's been due diligent on his work all spring, like always, and it's carried over on both the offensive and defensive end. And the other guy's not far behind him. They're in good spots and are going to be very productive helps to helping us win ball games.
Switching gears to kind of the main topic we'll talk about on here today, the 2004 team reuniting in the next few days in Boston. Obviously, a lot's planned. for especially Tuesday before the home opener. A lot of guys getting back together, you know, events throughout the week. And I think, you know, the 20-year anniversary probably came up quick on everybody. But just as the captain, of, you know, and the guy who had such an instrumental role on that team, what are you looking forward to most about the reunion to come this week?
Well, first I got to get through the itinerary because I haven't even gotten through that of what's going on and who's where. Mm-hmm. I figured we got a 6-hour flight on the way home. I'll be able to catch up and figure out what's going on. But right now I'm surviving on my day. You know, fortunately for getting to see some people, but unfortunately because of our dear loved one in Wake that got to see a lot of people at his memorial, and a lot of people have really come together from that group since then and communicated very well. I just look forward to them being honored and having a chance to see some people, and wish it was a little different timing, you know, personally for me, because, you know, we haven't been home and since, you know, 10th of February. So kind of miss my family, but I also miss them too. They're a huge part of my life, and appreciate everybody that had their roles and parts on that team.
Jason, when you get together with that 2004 team, whether it's an anniversary or a celebration or something like we're going to see Tuesday, does everyone just kind of fall into line and it's like you saw each other last week? Or what's the glue like for all those guys who scatter? Some are in the game like yourself, some are not. What's the vibe like when that 2014 gets together like this?
I think it's kind of, I can relate it to, it's like a childhood best friend. You go off, get married, and not see him for years, and all of a sudden you pick up right where you left off, and people laugh, tell the stories, and remind people of different things, and it's, you know, you share something like that. There's such an easy connection, and with such a wonderful team chemistry and team connection that I believe everybody just picks up where you left off, and it's fun.
Because of what that team achieved, the first championship in Boston for 86 years, the heartbreak of the year before and how 0-3 ended, the fact that you were staring down a 3-0 deficit against the Yankees in the ALCS, is there a special bond that belongs to that team, maybe different than the 2007 team, which you were also a part of? What sets that group apart in your mind?
Yeah, and unfortunately, being a part on the management side or in the other realms for the 13 and you know, covering so many games in 18, you see it from a different lens. But 04 was different. It was just totally different than any other piece because it was the first. And the heartache of everybody that had ever played there and the fan base that has been supporting the Red Sox for so many years, that breaking through and winning the one set a whole different precedent than anything else. And, you know, 7 wasn't easy, but 4 was, you got years and years of heartache and years of a fan base that continue to, you know, have different traumatic moments that could never break through.
As you look at this upcoming week, and once you do get the itinerary under your belt, is there anybody that you haven't seen in forever? Like, is there anybody you're particularly looking forward to seeing in the next few days that just, you know, has not been at these reunions or you haven't spoken to in a while?
I look forward to them all. You know, some you see occasionally here and there from, you know, like I look forward to see Ellis and, McCarty. And, you know, I don't know the list of who's all going to make it there. We got to see Doug in the fall, Mirabelli. There's just, the list goes on, and, you know, there's a decent amount that are still in the game in some way, fashion or another. And I don't know, it's kind of all of them for me, you know, just get that opportunity. I don't even know the guest list yet of who's going and who's not. And so, I mean, that 6-hour ride should be able to solidify, and I'll probably turn my focus for 24 hours into something else.
You talked about Tim Wakefield and the Wakefields, and that's going to be such a big part of Tuesday. And I know that your family's got very, very close, losing him and Stacy, and so in such quick succession, very tough on you and your family. But as you look back now, Why was the bond between you and Tim and your family so strong?
Tim and I as teammates were part of groups that, you know, when we had a chance to dine together, we dined together. But we always believed in that as a group and however many we could get together. But he was always a staple in that relationship. Tim, for me, was my first major league start. But our friendship grew even more after the game. He lives down the street from me when they're there for part of the year. And it really got even stronger when Stacy started going through some of her stuff. And with us being down the street, my wife was, Catherine has been just such a instrumental support piece for them. Used to make Stacy laugh when she wanted to cry. And that proximity and being close, you know, right down the street for all of what they had to go through created an even bigger bond. But it really all started just when we were done playing and being in the same area at the same time for part of the year, and dinners and, you know, occasional drinks and dinners and Kath Cook, and we just get to hang out and be humans.
And just how meaningful is it going to be to honor him with the whole group on Tuesday, and how emotional is that going to be?
Yeah. I'm an emotional being, so I don't know what place this is going to take me once again, but I think what's most important now is, you know, his children and their legacy that both he and Stacy have left, and that, you know, it's a community where, you know, more we can support the family as Red Sox Nation and as our Red Sox family, the best. But, you know, I don't think we could ever honor Tim enough, what he has meant as a player, a man that wore that uniform and wore that uniform proudly, and, you know, what he brought to the community and a support. And, you know, it'll be emotional. It'll be emotional in a lot of different ways. And I know a lot of the 04 group will be pretty emotional for them too.
Jason, it's a poorly kept secret that there's going to be a Memorial 49 patch or some honor in Tim's memory that's going to be part of the uniform going forward from Tuesday on. What will it mean to sort of carry Tim's legacy forward? And what would you say to guys on the 2024 Red Sox who perhaps don't have a history or a background or relationship with Wake as to what he meant to you and who he was like?
I think that everybody on the 04 group will, they have a strong bond and an awareness, because we ate together, we hung out together, and it's such a strong bond. I don't think that would ever have to be sold to that group. But
no, I meant current team who might not know of 2020. Yeah.
Yeah. I think AC said it, you know, last year when we were in Baltimore, when we heard the news, you know, I kind of removed myself and went walking around. I walked around the stadium, hid in the bullpen. Just, I didn't want the group to see me as emotional. I didn't know who knew, didn't know, whatever. And as the two of us were, AC came out and found me, and the two of us were standing out there. You know, it came out in conversation of, you know, Tim always wore the uniform, and how it, and then he took that, and, you know, as awesome human being as AC is, and had them understand that we're all going to be in uniforms, no hoodies today, no nothing, and to honor that. And for me, that reigns to where Tim has the ability to understand that the name on the back of the jersey doesn't mean his name on the front, as big as the name on the front. And that's the way he played his career, unselfishly, took bullpen roles, took starting roles. Yeah, we all want to be a part of it, but long-term, that's who he was. And that's hopefully going to continue to be the success here in this organization, is that a name on the back doesn't mean his name as much as the name on the front.
You talked about not knowing the exact guest list and which players are going to be able to show up. We do know that one person will be absent, that Curt Schilling will not be there. I know that there were members of that team that were not happy about what happened last fall, shortly before Wake passed. Is it perhaps a good thing that there won't be that distraction on Tuesday?
I mean, as a group, you know, it'd be a group conversation later. I know the powers of Stacey, and you know, they've had their things to get through and basically to live a life of forgiveness, and hopefully that all pans its way out over time.
Red Sox community lost another integral part of the 2004 team earlier this week, and Larry Lucchino. What did he mean to your career and the organization during his time with the Red Sox?
I mean, it's transition and winning, right? We transition of ownership that has voted four championships since there, and is ahead of head of operations for a long time, and I gave some mentorship to other people and really helped to put us in the spots that we were to win our first championship and then thereafter.
And last thing we have on Tuesday, do you think your responsibilities with the current 2024 Red Sox will, do you think you'll get maybe a little bit of a day off, or is it eyes on the prize even when you have to celebrate out on the field?
Fortunately for me, I got a game. Unfortunately for festivities, I have a game, but importantly, my job right now is to be there for my players and be there for a stat or my catchers and be a part of that. So I'll probably be an ancillary part of it without seeing the itinerary, and may get poked and prodded and probably do a little bit more, but we got a game to win.
Right.
You do have a lot of responsibilities, Jason, obviously, as both game planning coordinator and catching instructor. But there is always talk about perhaps a managerial role for you down the road, be it with the Red Sox or elsewhere. In your quieter moments, is that something that's still on your mind, maybe a goal of yours?
I think once you get rolling and you get in through things, you know, you asked me that at the end of last season, sure, yes. You know, we did have a conversation, but I believe in being in the moment. My moment right now is to continue to do what I'm doing and continue, which I love, be a support system with our catching department, to be a bridge with our pitching department, to continue to grow with our new pitching philosophy, and most importantly, be here to support my manager, who I believe highly in.
Jason, can't thank you enough. Know that you're busy on a West Coast trip with the time difference and everything else. Lots of responsibilities. We want to thank you for your time this afternoon. Thanks.
Having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks again to the captain, Jason Varitek, for joining us today. Cool for me. He was my favorite player growing up. Sean covered his entire career and is, you know, much older than him, so he can't say the same. But we appreciate Jason coming on ahead of what should be a pretty emotional and pretty memorable few days around Boston, Sean.
Yeah, absolutely. That there's going to be a lot of emotion, as Jason hinted at, not just in the renewal of the bond that exists, those 2004 players, but also the recognition of the passing of both Tim and Stacey Wakefield. That'll be a heavy emotional moment at Fenway, but it's all part of them getting back together. And we should remind you that we have the Red Sox Insider Text Program, which you can join by texting the word join to 617-751-6257, then click the link to subscribe. It's free for 14 days. After that, it's $4.99 a month. Stay up on all current Red Sox news, have your questions answered, and supply your questions for mailbag editions of this very podcast.
This has been the Fenway Rundown, brought to you by Mass Live.